I would fight to protect our environment and that we would create new energy jobs across this state. Because this is a four-corner state. It's not just Denver. It's not just Boulder. I-25 doesn't end in Colorado Springs. It goes on to Pueblo, to Trinidad, to Fort Collins. I-70 doesn't end at Vail. It goes on to Grand Junction, to Stratton and Burlington. And my approach has been one that has led me to pass more legislation into effect than the entire Colorado congressional delegation combined. I'm the third most bipartisan member of the United States Senate because I believe we get more accomplished when we work together, Republicans and Democrats and everyone in between, to fight for this state, to create jobs prior to the pandemic. And my prayers are certainly with the president and Melania and all the families who have suffered as we get through this pandemic together. Prior to the pandemic, we saw record economic growth across the country. Our 2017 tax cuts led to household growth in Colorado over $1,400. We see opportunity zones implemented in southern Colorado that are creating minority opportunities for businesses and new employment. In fact, we see higher wage growth in opportunity zones than we do outside of opportunity zones. Those are the things that we can do together. But perhaps most importantly is the work that I did to pass the Great American Outdoors Act, the most significant environmental accomplishment for this country in over 50 years, the largest infusion of dollars into our public lands in the history of this country. I brought Republicans and Democrats together to accomplish something that they couldn't get done for decades, and we got it done. And in Pueblo, Colorado, we've fought hard to make sure that tomorrow we're breaking ground on the Arkansas Valley Conduit, a pipeline to provide 50,000 people with clean drinking water. We accelerated the Superfund cleanup site here in Pueblo, working with the EPA, and I fought hard to make sure the steel mill could expand, and we made that announcement just a few weeks ago. Now, my opponent is here tonight as the first governor in the history of our state to be convicted and held in contempt by the state's ethics commission. Tonight, you're going to hear a difference between a person who wants to fight for Colorado, for all four corners of our great state, and somebody who thinks this is all about him. Somebody who thinks that it's okay to take jets to Switzerland and to Italy. You know, not everybody in Pueblo or Colorado is a millionaire or has the ability to do that. It's a very clear contrast between somebody who believes that the people of Colorado are first, that's what I believe, and somebody who believes their own self-interests are first and that they want to go to Washington to line their own pockets, what they've done the last 8 years as governor. So I'm excited for the opportunity to share this vision of Colorado tonight. Because I believe in this state. I believe in the opportunities that we can create together. And don't forget, just a few miles away, Runyon Sports Complex, funded by the Land and Water Conservation Fund, that the Great American Outdoors Act has made permanent, the source of funding that they used. Generations of Coloradans up and down the Front Range have taken advantage of that facility. We're going to link it from Runyon to downtown with the Riverwalk. This is a great historic opportunity for Pueblo to continue to build upon the generations of success that it's had. And I'm honored to be here tonight, and I look forward to this discussion this evening.
Thank you very much. We will now have opening remarks from former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper.
Great. Well, thank you, Steve, and it's great to be back in Pueblo, the city of heroes. I really feel like Bob Rawlings is looking down on us in some way. He was the first editorial endorsement I saw when I first ran for governor back in 2010. It was the first one that I got, and I will always remember it. I want to thank ARP as well as the Pueblo Community College for the facility here. And our thoughts and prayers are with the president and the first lady, and we wish him and the first lady a speedy recovery. But I do think we need to discuss the policy issues respectfully that we disagree on. We're in a crisis, and the stakes couldn't be higher. We have a pandemic that continues to rage. We still don't have sufficient testing capacity, protective equipment. The economic destruction has been beyond anybody's conception at the beginning of this pandemic. Indeed, the president, and I say this with all due respect, he ignored the risk, and I think he was negligent. And even as it became clear that it was a serious risk, the team around him in the White House, their response was incompetent. Because of that, we have just about the worst problems, the worst economic damage of any industrialized nation in the world. We that used to have the strongest public health system. Now, most of you know my my background, I ran a small business. I ran a restaurant and grew that into a number of restaurants. Just like a lot of people, I worked 70, 80 hours a week. I understand what it's like to lie awake at night trying to figure out how you're going to make a payroll, how you're going to balance your budget. I had to balance that budget as the mayor of Denver and then as the governor for 8 years. And let me say that I know what it means to work together. And that's what I did when I got elected governor. I was the first Denver mayor in 120 years to get elected governor because we had worked with everyone all over the state. When I came in as governor, I picked Joe Garcia to be my lieutenant governor and the head of higher education to make sure we brought funding down to CSU Pueblo, which we did. Picked John Salazar to be the Secretary of Agriculture, and he did a spectacular job. We worked with the legislators here to make sure that the state incentives for EVRAZ were there to ensure that those high-paying jobs were indeed created. And we worked with Leroy Garcia, the Senate President, to create consumer protections that were sorely needed down here. In that crisis, and when I got elected, we were in the middle of the Great Recession. It's a smaller crisis than what we see now, but a serious crisis. We went those first 4 years. We went through the worst floods, the worst droughts, the worst wildfires, the worst shooting in that Aurora movie theater. I went to 34 funerals in my first 4 years, and we worked together. We expanded Medicaid on a bipartisan level. We covered 400,000 Coloradans who hadn't had health care coverage before. More than 50,000 of those people covered were in rural parts of Colorado. We made sure that 12 hospitals that were threatened with closure were able to stay open. We went from 40th in job creation to becoming the number one economy in the United States. We created the first water plan in the history of the state of Colorado by working together. We had over 30,000 comments to create that. Now we look at this pandemic around us and we have to ask, are we really going to, in the middle of a pandemic, are we going to strip away health care and protections for people with pre-existing medical conditions? As we see the hurricanes and the wildfires, we're going to ignore climate change more? We need to change Washington, and we need to recognize that nothing's going to change if we don't send new people to Washington.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer portion. A reminder that we'll have 2 minutes, each of you, to answer the question, and then you'll have a 1 minute rebuttal, and if we need to, we'll do an additional minute, but that'll be it, and then because we want to get as many questions in as possible. This year's advertising campaign has focused in large part on two issues, ethics and health care. Let's talk about those two issues. Mr. Gardner, you'll answer this first. In your ads, you have talked about, and you did in your opening statement, about ethics violations and even accusing Mr. Hickenlooper of conspiring with the media to cover them up. Could you please detail those accusations for our viewers?
Well, thank you, Steve, very much for this chance. And I've also talked about the Great American Outdoors Act and the conservation work that we have done, a conservation bill that the Sierra Club, that the Nature Conservancy have all heralded as one of our great environmental accomplishments. In fact, the Great American Outdoors Act that I've talked about in our campaign advertisements has talked about how it's the generation, legislation of a generation that's the holy grail of conservation. The Great American Outdoors Act is going to create 100,000 plus jobs around the country. It's going to create thousands of jobs right here in Pueblo. So we have talked about that. I've talked about the work that we did in COVID-19 to bring hundreds of thousands of COVID-19 tests to Colorado when we couldn't get them, working with Korea and the relationships that I have built there, hundreds of thousands of N95 masks to Colorado to make sure that we had those here. And yes, I have talked about ethics because I think it's important. I think we tell the people of Colorado what has happened. You know, several years back, Governor Hickenlooper apparently forgot that he worked for the people of Colorado. And that's why he took private jet trip after private jet trip in violation of our state constitution, becoming the first governor in the history of our state to violate the state's constitution. And then he didn't even show up at his own ethics trial. You want to talk about sending new people to Washington? If you send new people to Washington with the same bad ideas and bad behavior, you get more of the same. Over the last 6 years, I've worked hard to bring people together. I've worked hard to create jobs in Pueblo, Colorado, to expand the steel mill and policies that create new jobs and opportunities for agriculture. Just the other day, I was out at Musso's Farms, where they're raising chilies, Pueblo chilies, the best in the country. And I saw hundreds of people coming there from across southern Colorado to celebrate our agricultural heritage. We have work to do in this state to recover from the pandemic, to create more opportunities. But it's clear that John Hickenlooper thinks that this state is about him. And when you think it's about him, when you think it's all about you, Governor, and you go to Washington, D.C. and have a government-run healthcare system and increase taxes and destroy our energy industry, then it's not about the people of Colorado. It's not about Pueblo. And that hurts our working families. I'm going to stand up for our working families just as I always have.
Okay. Mr. Hickenlooper, your thoughts on this topic?
Yes, well, and you're going to see... I think throughout the course of the evening, Cory Gardner is going to come attack me left and right. He starts with these, what were really, in fact, two minor reporting errors. They were inadvertent. The Denver Post referred to them as an honest mistake, relatively minor. I paid the $2,800. I took responsibility. But let's be clear why those errors were so contentious. Why was there a dark money Republican organization that came and originally made 97 allegations? Only two were found, again, two relatively minor inadvertent mistakes. The reason is because Cory Gardner can't run on his record, and they needed to attack me any way they could. They knew that we had taken the state from 40th in job creation to the number one economy in the country. As I said, we created the first water plan in the history of the state of Colorado. We did all this by working all across the state. We brought people together from every walk of life. Now, Cory Gardner has voted 9 times to eliminate protections from pre-existing conditions. Now, he says he has a plan that'll stand up and take care of that, but that's a sham. That's been exposed by fact checkers. Let's look clearly. He's voted 13 times to try and either defund or otherwise eliminate the Affordable Care Act. He says he's a great supporter of the outdoors, and yet the League of Conservation Voters puts him in their dirty dozen, the 12 worst polluters in the entire Senate. Let's take all this in perspective and recognize that these attacks against me are really because this Republican dark money can't defend Cory Gardner's record, and they're going to spend, as we've seen, tens of millions of dollars in constant attacks.
Thank you. Mr. Gardner, rebuttal?
Well, I don't think two violations of the state's constitution are minor paperwork errors. You violated the constitution, John. You told the people of Colorado that your trips to Switzerland in 2012, 15, 16, 17, a trip to Wyoming on a private jet to attend a hunt, are more important than the Constitution. And it wasn't just two charges, John. The 91 charges that were dropped because they were outside of the statute of limitations. They were never even considered by the Ethics Commission. And if you apply the standards of those stories with the 91 other, you'd have been found in violation of those as well. And then you turned around and you paid for your lawyers with the taxpayer dollars out of a post 9/11 economic recovery fund. Two questions for you, John. Will you repay the people of Colorado the dollars that they spent for your violations of the state constitution? And will you reveal the truth about the 91 other trips that weren't even considered by the Ethics Commission?
You know, it is a wall of words and so little facts. The distortion and the outright lies have been there all along. You know, the bottom line remains that Cory Gardner hasn't done what he said he'd do. He said he'd be an independent voice for Colorado. He would never sacrifice the interests of the state because of loyalty to his party. And yet he supported Donald Trump 100% of the time. Let me say that Coloradans don't support Donald Trump 100% of the time. Let me say the accusations, there's no such thing as a 9/11 fund. You know that perfectly well. That's been widely reported.
It's not what the Denver Post said.
That's exactly what the Denver Post said. It was widely reported, and the bottom line is that if you really were worried about taxpayers' money, why are you pursuing the lawsuit started by Donald Trump to get rid of the Affordable Care Act? That lawsuit, which clearly is the reason why you flip-flopped in terms of the selection of the next Supreme Court justice. You were 4 years ago saying, well, there's not enough time, and You know, I would never take away the voice of the people. And yet, in the end, you decide you're going to flip that position, this time when you've only got 44 days left.
So I take it you won't pay the
taxpayers
back. So
why don't you stop charging the taxpayers the millions of dollars that you're pursuing in that lawsuit to try and get rid of the Affordable Care Act and protect those dollars?
So you're not going to pay the people of Colorado back, and you're not going to reveal the 91 other charges that the Ethics Commission couldn't hear because they were outside of the statute of limitations. Is that the answer I'm getting tonight, that you're just not going to?
Let's do it once at a time. So, Mr. Gardner, you're in your rebuttal now. Go ahead.
Thank you. Again, the governor talks about wall of words. It's two words that I'm looking for. Yes, you will pay the taxpayers back the $150,000 that you charged them, that they paid for you out of an economic recovery fund, so because you violated the state's constitution. The other word that we need to hear is, yes, you will be accountable to the people of Colorado. Share and disclose the 91 other charges, where you went, who you flew with. The people of Colorado deserve answers. This is what happens when somebody has been in office and they think it's about them. Governor Hickenlooper got comfortable in the office. Heck, he even allowed corporate donations to pay for staffers in his office. I'm the third most bipartisan member of the United States Senate for a reason, because I build ground-up support from Republicans and Democrats to get things done. It's why we passed the most significant conservation bill in over 50 years, the Great American Outdoors Act. It's why I've led funding increases at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory at over 50%. And tomorrow, right here in Pueblo, Colorado, we're going to kick off the construction of a drinking water pipeline that will provide 50,000 people with clean drinking water that John F. Kennedy authorized in 1962, but we didn't get it done until a few months ago.
Okay. Mr. Hickenlooper, final rebuttal. We'll move on to the next question after that.
Yeah. So any attack on the governor, the secretary of state, those are attacks on the office, and they are in every state paid for by the state. They make sure that those payments are done. Let's get back to the point, though. Cory Gardner continues to pursue this lawsuit to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. That's, we're talking millions and millions of dollars. And what about the issues of rolling back the protections for clean air, clean water, appointing a former lobbyist for the coal industry to run the EPA? Think about the cost of that. When you roll back all those protections for clean air and clean water and try to figure out how do you return to Colorado and talk to them as a you're trying to present yourself as a protector of the environment, and clearly that's not what's been happening at all. What you do, what you try to attack, you attack, and again, Cory is very slick and very polished. He's learned a lot in Washington, and clearly he's brought it back to Colorado.
Okay, thank you. Our next question, we're going to talk about health care. Mr. Hickenlooper, you'll answer for this question first. Your campaign has put a focus on Mr. Gardner's record on health care. Please elaborate on your concerns and describe what health care solutions you would pursue if elected.
Well, I think health care is a right, not a privilege. I've thought that my entire life. While I was governor, we expanded Medicaid to 400,000 people, created one of the most innovative exchanges in the country to get 100,000 more people coverage. We got to almost 95% coverage. We eliminated two-thirds of the uncovered population of Colorado. We also were able to keep 12 rural hospitals in business that otherwise might have closed. Cory Gardner has repeatedly tried to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, get rid of the coverage for those 400,000 people, 50,000 of them in rural parts of Colorado. And more importantly, he has voted 9 times to eliminate protections for people with pre-existing medical conditions. In Colorado, there are 2.4 million people with pre-existing medical conditions. And for the life of me, I cannot understand how, with a straight face, someone can stand up there and say, well, we're just going to pursue this lawsuit, and it goes to the Supreme Court, and if we're lucky, we'll be able to appoint a justice who will agree that Justice Roberts maybe made a mistake in protecting the Affordable Care Act. And in so doing, what you're doing is you're taking away the protections that so many people desperately need. I can't tell you how many stories I've heard from one end of Colorado to the other of people that would be at risk without the Affordable Care Act, without those protections. There's been no reasonable replacement proposed. I think that that's at the heart of it. I think we can get to universal coverage. We can have a sliding scale public option. We can make sure that that the large prescription drug companies, the pharmaceutical companies, allow the government to get bulk discounts for Medicare purchases, take that savings and use it to cover, to make sure that everybody gets coverage, that we roll it out and make sure everyone in this country has coverage, just like they do in every other industrialized country.
Mr. Gardner, what is your reply to that, and what health care solutions will you pursue if reelected?
Yeah, thank you, Steve. John, there's two things that we agree on, Republicans and Democrats. We all agree on. Number one is that we will have and maintain coverage for people with pre-existing conditions. It's why I've introduced legislation to make sure that we have coverage for people with pre-existing conditions. And I hope you'll take some time to read the bill, unlike the Affordable Care Act that people passed before they actually read it. It's a pretty simple bill requiring coverage for pre-existing conditions. The other thing, of course, that you agree on is to replace the Affordable Care Act. Both Republicans and Democrats want to replace the Affordable Care Act. How do I know that? Because you and John Kasich had a plan to replace the Affordable Care Act. When you ran for president, you talked about replacing the Affordable Care Act right now with universal coverage on a sliding scale. And let's be clear about what this wall of words that John talks about means. It means that he wants government-run health care. A public option will decimate our rural hospitals. A public option will result in government-run health care. In fact, Governor Hickenlooper actually admits that it will. It will lead to Medicare for all. Medicare for all will eliminate the insurance that 178 million people across this country get from their employer. Governor Hickenlooper's plan will devastate rural hospitals. It will remove 178 million people from the insurance they get through their employer. And on top of it, if you're a working family, like I know everybody in Colorado is, you're going to face $2,300 in additional payroll taxes. That's John's plan. My plan, let's protect people with pre-existing conditions. Let's have a patient-centered healthcare system that actually takes care of people that work with their doctors instead of having a government bureaucrat make their decision for them. Let's allow new technologies and innovation, health savings accounts, that can drive the ability for us to use our dollars the way we want to, not the way the government has decided for us. Insurance across state lines, association health plans. We will work to drive down the cost of health care, increase the quality of health care, but I believe the people of Colorado know what's best. When John Hickenlooper supported the Affordable Care Act, hundreds of thousands of Coloradans had their insurance plans canceled, and now he's after 178 million more.
Mr. Hickenlooper, rebuttal?
You know, again, more untruths, no connection to factual basis. He's taking other people's plans, putting my name on them. But you know what's the cruelest lie of all? Is the fact that Cory Gardner's willing to sit here and say that he has a plan that's going to protect pre-existing conditions. And every independent fact checker has referred to this as a sham, a fraud. Nine News referred to it as horse excrement. You know, the problem is that Cory Gardner is not just lying to all of you watching this debate. He's lying to 2.4 million Coloradans. That bill has 117 words in it. It does nothing to say that insurance companies have to take people with pre-existing conditions on. Again, every expert can riddle the multiple holes. It's almost like Swiss cheese. Listen, we need to get to universal coverage. And we can do it without, I mean, we're only, in Colorado, we're only 5% short. In other states, we're 10 to 15% short. It's not going to cost a fortune. It's not going to break any bank. And we can be like all the other industrialized countries in the world and have universal coverage.
Okay. Rebuttal, Mr. Gardner?
Well, thank you. I worked with Governor Polis in Colorado to make sure that we had a Medicaid waiver to lower the cost of insurance in Colorado. I've worked to make sure that we eliminate the health insurance tax that the Affordable Care Act created to reduce by hundreds of dollars the cost that families share, to remove the medical device tax that increased the cost of insurance. Under John Hickenlooper's watch as governor, heck, in his last year as governor, health insurance premiums went up 35%. If you live in Pueblo, Colorado, you're paying 13% of your salary to pay for your health insurance premiums. Now, if you live in Denver, it's only 6%, because John Hickenlooper doesn't realize that the rest of the state goes beyond Denver and Boulder. It goes to places like Pueblo. My mom has a pre-existing condition. She is a cancer survivor. She fought hard to overcome, and she did. My bill is simple. It protects people with pre-existing conditions. It gets the jobs done that we need to. Are you saying, Governor Hickenlooper, that you did not introduce a health care plan with John Kasich and yourself?
Rebuttal, Mr. Hickenlooper.
So I think the issue is that Cory Gardner continues to fight these old battles and is trying to defend the fact that, you know, he has voted 9 times to get rid of pre-existing conditions. He's voted 13 times to try and eliminate the Affordable Care Act altogether. There's no replacement. No one's been negotiating. Cory Gardner went and he ran for Congress 10 years ago based on the, getting rid of the Affordable Care Act. Then he ran for Senate on the basis of getting rid of the Affordable Care Act. And, you know, in those 10 years of trying to get rid of it, where is the replacement, right? This is complicated stuff. This is people's lives. And you can't just smooth it all over. Donald Trump, with all due respect, came in and began making a full-fledged effort to get rid of the Affordable Care Act and anything connected with it. It was a big part of his campaign. Cory Gardner has stood beside him the entire time. He has supported Donald Trump 100% of the time, especially on these health care issues. And it is not in the best interests of Colorado.
So did you or did you not introduce a plan with John Kasich? That's the simple question.
Okay, time. We'll go to the next question. In many ways, the 4-year term of President Trump and his reelection bid is going to affect this year's races, including this one. So, Mr. Gardner, if you'll answer this first, you have been supportive of the president. Please explain why you believe he has done a good job and whether you believe he should be reelected.
I view the actions that I take through the lens of Colorado. I vote for the people of Colorado 100% of the time, and I'm going to continue to do that. I've worked hard to make sure that we have successes for the people of Colorado, and that's why I'm going to continue to do that the next 6 years, if I can earn your vote tonight and through the next several weeks. I brought the Bureau of Land Management headquarters to Colorado to bring jobs into this state. We opened up U.S. Space Command in Colorado Springs to create jobs and opportunity for our national security. The Arkansas Valley Conduit right here in Pueblo, the Great American Outdoors Act, which create thousands of jobs, one of the most significant bipartisan accomplishments we have. And we worked with the president to make this happen. In fact, the president wasn't supportive of the Land and Water Conservation Fund, but we convinced him to do so. We convinced him to bring the Bureau of Land Management to Colorado. That's the kind of work that we've done. Now, we've not always agreed on everything. Absolutely not. Tariffs on agricultural goods. I think it's a tax on Colorado consumers. Immigration issues. I believe we need an immigration system that works for Colorado. But I've worked hard to make sure that we have things like the tax cuts that will grow jobs and opportunity for the people of this state. And I believe in an energy industry that is going to succeed. Now, one thing, as we've talked about the economy tonight that John hasn't mentioned, is the fact that he supports, actually wants to go further than the Green New Deal. A $93 trillion piece of legislation that would devastate our energy workers across the state. He's also said he wants to make oil and gas obsolete. 230,000 people will be out of work. If you work at a gas station, he wants to put you out of work. If you're a mechanic in diesel trucks, he wants to put you out of work. If you're a welder at a steel mill that makes pipeline for oil and gas, he wants to put you out of work. I don't think economic success getting out of a pandemic is the right thing for us to be doing, is to have pink slips instead of opportunity. Governor Hickenlooper's plan is economic pain. I'm going to work with anyone, Republican, Democrat, whether it's a Republican president or Democrat president, my record proves it, to make sure that we create jobs, more jobs, not fewer jobs. Governor, could you explain to the people of Pueblo why you want to lay off energy workers here?
Okay. Mr. Hickenlooper?
So that is grimly serious discussion points, and certainly another distortion. And as I predicted, he didn't answer the question. The question was, you know, what do you support about Donald Trump? Why are you supporting him for president? What in his plan is compelling you to say that he's so good for Colorado? I might even ask the question, why won't you ever speak up to him on those places where you disagree? When the president was recorded on a tape recorder, saying that our fallen heroes were losers and essentially debilitating them, losers and chumps, or whatever it was he said. The disdain, the fact that wounded veterans shouldn't be allowed to march in patriotic parades. I didn't hear any rebuke coming from Cory Gardner. He doesn't mention him much, and he'll go right by the question here in this debate. But the bottom line is that he is been with Donald Trump 100% of the time. When he's raising money out of state, he and President Trump are side by side and smiling friends, the closest of friends. Listen, he can lecture me all he wants to about jobs. When I was governor, we created 500,000 jobs in Colorado. And we did that by working together. We created a business plan from the bottom up. We went to every corner of the state. We worked with the leaders in every county, and not just the economic development professionals, not just the chambers of commerce. We were able to mold a vision and a plan for this state that again, in the end, took us from 40th in job creation to being the number one economy in the country. Now, in terms of energy, right, climate change is real. Look at those wildfires. You can smell the smoke today across Colorado. We have to begin adjusting to that. And it's going to create far more jobs than it's going to lose. We're going to transition into not using coal-fired plants, and we're going to transition to electric vehicles. These are all things that are going, just like Kennedy's race to the moon, they're going to create not just new jobs, but whole new professions, whole new industries.
Okay. Rebuttal, Mr. Gardner?
You know, speaking about every corner of Colorado, let me talk about Craig, Colorado. A couple of TV commercials that John is running across the state highlight the fact that he destroyed hundreds of jobs and supported the destruction of hundreds of jobs in Craig, Colorado. If you're in a community like Pueblo or Craig, Colorado, and you see a politician running for office, vote for me. They just destroyed hundreds of jobs in your community like he brags about in Craig, Colorado. That's not a message of optimism. That's saying that your town doesn't matter, that your part of the state doesn't matter. And that's, again, what Governor Hickenlooper shows time and time again, that he doesn't care about the people of Colorado. He's more interested in himself. If he did, he wouldn't celebrate the loss of jobs in Craig and shutting down coal mines. Look, we can have a growing economy. We need a growing economy to have a better, stronger environment. That's what we need to do. That's why the Great American Outdoors Act, the Sierra Club, the Natural Resources Defense Council said that it addresses two important issues, climate change and biodiversity. That's my legislation, bipartisan work that we did. But why are you bragging about killing jobs across Colorado?
Okay. Mr. Hickenlooper?
So we've done more to expand outdoor recreation in Colorado than any administration in the history of the state of Colorado. As part of our thrust for 500,000 jobs, and we are going to replace those jobs in Craig and up and down the West Slope. If you go look in all kinds of small communities, that those seeds are planted and those businesses are growing. We provided a tax incentive to help small businesses grow in those far places. Cory Gardner wants to sell himself as this great leader of the outdoors. And again, the League of Conservation Voters ranked him one of the 12 most polluting senators in the entire U.S. Senate. If you step back and when he did an ad a couple months ago and wanted a nonprofit to go out and say how great he was and how great an environmentalist he was, the Republicans had to create an artificial environmental nonprofit to go on the screen and tell the lies about how great he is, even though pretty much every environmental community, they may have applauded the funding of the Land and Water Conservation Fund, but that's about the only thing they want. Why won't Cory Gardner support the CORE Act? 400,000 acres, land to be protected, supported by every county commissioner in all nine counties where the land exists, and for whatever reason, he won't support it.
Steve, I want to just talk about this because you just besmirched a young activist Republican who was trying to start an environmental group. Have you ever talked to her? Have you ever had the moment to sit down with her and talk about her ideas? Because it's not fake, it's real. How dare you actually come in here and criticize a Colorado citizen accusing them of lying and making up a group? Yeah, is she new? Yes. Is she young? Yes. Does she want it to succeed? You bet. Republicans need to do more about talking about our environment. That's what I continue to do, but why are you attacking a young Republican that's doing exactly what you want them to do? That's because it's all about you, Governor. Because you think your ideas of the Green New Deal, actually you want to go further than the Green New Deal, you said it. And you're not the only one who can take credit for a growing economy. We work to stop the tax increases that you have fought for your entire career over the 8 years you served as governor. There wasn't a tax you met that you didn't like. How many taxes increased did you have under your watch? You tried billions and billions of dollars of tax increases. We stopped the regulations that you supported that hurt the economy because we work together in Colorado to create jobs. You've got the wrong idea for what works to create jobs.
Mr. Mr. Hickenlooper, final rebuttal. We'll move on to the next question.
I apologize to the young woman if that's necessary. I thought it was an amazing coincidence that she happened to create this environmental organization literally days before
you. Attacking a Coloradan?
You needed a TV ad, and there was just this amazing coincidence of time. I hope the organization is a great success, but you couldn't find.
You just called her a liar.
I haven't called her a liar.
Okay.
My point on all this is to recognize that there doesn't appear to be a traditional environmental group that was willing to put their name on your ad. And that's the point that I think people should take away, is you push yourself out as this big environmentalist, but in the end, there's no there. One bill does not an environmentalist make. And when you've
Increasing funding for the National Renewable Energy Laboratory. Some of these other things. I'd happy to have that conversation.
Mr. Hickenlooper, finish your remarks, please, and then we'll go to the next question.
That's okay. I'm ready to go to the next one.
All right, let's go to the next one. Mr. Hickenlooper, you'll answer this question first. Should the Senate proceed immediately to fill the seat vacated by the passing of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
I don't think they should. And I think that the American people deserve a voice. I think Coloradans deserve a voice. 4 years ago, Cory Gardner said that 8 months wasn't enough time and that the stakes were too high, that we needed to let the voice of the American people be heard, and that they should be heard through the election of the next president, and that next president should make the choice. I was on the side of supporting, the tradition for almost 200 years was within a couple months, a president shouldn't make, I think the standard is within 2 months, a president shouldn't make a nomination in the last year of a term. But more than 2 months out, they should be able to make a nomination and have it heard by the Senate and ruled on. For whatever reason, that precedent was broken 4 years ago when Corey said the stakes were too high and that we just had to do too much, that was too important, too much to do, and the American voice had to be heard. And now suddenly, with only 44 days to go before the end of the term, there's all the time in the world. They're going to rush this through. And this is after we've had over 5.5 months where the Senate hasn't had time to negotiate relief for the people that lost their jobs because of COVID-19. Again, the negligence and the incompetence from the White House has created this, not just the pandemic that we're dealing with right now, and Corey wants to get rid of pre-existing conditions in the middle of a pandemic, but also what we're looking at is trying to figure out some way that they can take this situation and use it to finally, once and for all, use the lawsuit that's going to be before the Supreme Court on the 10th of November and try to end the Affordable Care Act that way.
Okay. Mr. Gardner?
I believe it's important that we have justices on the Supreme Court who are going to uphold the law, who are going to protect the Constitution and not legislate from the bench, that they're not going to try to make up their own policies. Because that's what we've seen too many times. If you can't win at the ballot box, if you can't pass your bill in Congress or you get what you want done as a governor, then you try to get the Supreme Court to rule your way. That's not what we want. I supported Colorado's own Neil Gorsuch. John Hickenlooper, a Coloradan, would have voted no. I support filling this seat because it's important that we have this seat. We're following precedents, the same precedent that's been around since the late 1800s. You know, it's interesting that Governor Hickenlooper talks about what he needs to do now, because 4 years ago he said the seat needed to be filled. He's changed his position. And I would also point out, in 2018, in his last year as governor, Governor Hickenlooper appointed a Supreme Court justice to the Colorado Supreme Court. Should that too have waited? The same party in the Senate, the same party in the House, the same party in the governor's mansion. Did you violate your own rule that you've just laid out as well? Look, we've seen judges that you have appointed in news recently. One was covering up a cocaine ring in northern Colorado. We've also seen a justice that you appointed to the Supreme Court who was a donor of yours. It's a pattern that continues to repeat itself. Governor Hickenlooper believes it's all about him. That's why he can put donors on the Supreme Court and why he can appoint somebody in May of his last year and then condemn others for moving forward with filling a justice position. Look, it's important that we have somebody who will uphold the law. We've put over 200 judges across the country, including Allison Ide in Colorado, others who will do a remarkable job of ensuring our democracy, our freedoms, and our country is kept safe the rule of law is followed to make sure that we have a constitution that remains strong.
Okay. Rebuttal, Mr. Eckenlooper?
Yes. And I'm going to quote back what I said, which was I said that within 2 months of the end of your term, a governor or president should not appoint a Supreme Court justice. My appointment was well beyond, I think we had 9 months before the end of the term, or maybe it was 11 months. I can't remember exactly. I do remember I appointed 5 of our 7 sitting Supreme Court justices, and I never tried to push one through rapidly, strictly to they could get onto a, be part of the judgment on a major issue, like repealing the protections for pre-existing conditions. And that's the issue here, that you're looking at a judge who's already said that Justice Roberts made a mistake when he defended the Affordable Care Act and allowed it to exist. Cory Gardner said, when you can't win in the ballot box, when you can't win in legislature, you certainly shouldn't try to appoint a justice. Well, isn't he doing just that right now? They couldn't get rid of the protection for pre-existing conditions in the legislature, so now they're trying to do it through a justice.
Mr. Gardner?
Well, I guess John already knows how the governor, how the Supreme Court justice will rule. That's simply not true. We don't know how this case is going to play out or how any judge would rule if they're following the law and the Constitution. That's what we hope any judge or justice would do. I support making sure we have coverage for pre-existing conditions. I've introduced a bill to do just that. I wrote the bill. I encourage you to read the bill. We will make sure that Republicans, the two things we agree on, that we cover people with pre-existing conditions, will continue. That we replace the Affordable Care Act with something that will work, not your idea for government-run socialized medicine that removes the health insurance that 178 million Americans have and receive through their employer. But we also know why you want to hide behind a justice, because you're afraid what the Supreme Court would do to your government-run health care or your radical ideas on eliminating every energy job in Colorado, what they would do to protect the special interests that you continue to pursue, or maybe they wouldn't cover an ethics investigation like we did here in Colorado.
Mr. Eckenlooper?
He says read the bill. I encourage everyone to read the bill. There's 117 words, and as every fact checker pointed out, it is Swiss cheese. There's no way it's going to protect pre-existing medical conditions. And Cory's had 10 years to create a substitute to negotiate, to work it through, and it hasn't happened. He talks about special interests and the protection of special interests. I think it's worth pointing out that Cory's received now well over $5.7 million from corporate political action committees, PACs, PACs. And that $5.7 million doesn't come without expectations. And I think when you look at, you know, when Donald Trump came in and the first thing he wanted to do to reward all the corporate support that he'd received was he went to the legislature and said, I want to give the biggest tax giveaway that this country's ever seen, $1 trillion. And Cory couldn't get there fast enough to support that. And I think those are the special interests we should be talking about. 5.7, more corporate PAC dollars than any politician in the history of Colorado.
Well, if I could respond to that, Steve.
Sure.
You want to talk about special interests. Would you explain to the people of Colorado why you allowed special interests to hire staff in your office as governor?
Steve, do you want me to answer that?
It's up to you.
Sure.
It's your time.
You know, we did hire someone to represent the elderly. We wanted to really focus on making sure that Colorado
with corporate money.
Colorado was it's from a nonprofit, but Colorado was the number one state in the country, and that was our goal, to make sure that we could create a plan whereby the elderly could afford to stay in their housing, they could have mobility, they could enjoy the dignity of their lives. And Cory's voted a number of times to reduce funding or harm Social Security, Medicare, push back the age when people can begin it. We were trying and we were successful. USA Today for 2 years, for the last 2 years, has said that Colorado is the number one state for the elderly. And yes, it was a collaborative effort to try and make us the most successful state to provide senior citizens.
The reports that show that you consistently hire corporate people in your office. So I hope you'll share that with the people.
Mr. Gardner, you have your last rebuttal. We'll go to the next question.
Oh, thank you, and I apologize. I thought that was my rebuttal. I apologize. Look, you've done more than that. I think Channel 4 and others have done a pretty extensive expose into the amount of dollars you receive from special interests to hire them to work in your office. That's because you believe that the rules don't apply to you. That's what happened in the Ethics Commission. You didn't even show up at your own ethics hearing. You could explain that, perhaps, to the people of Colorado as well. And when it comes to tax cuts, you bet I fought hard to cut taxes. Because Colorado has seen wage growth as a result. If you look at 2018 to 2019, the western part of this United States had 7% wage growth. Hispanic families have seen their wealth increase by 65%. African American families have seen their wage growth, their families' wealth grow by 33% because of the work we did on tax cuts and opportunity zones and the regulations that we have reduced to empower people and jobs. That's the work that we did. And I'm sorry if you think that Colorado taxpayers don't deserve a tax break. If you repeal it, it'll be the most significant tax increase in the history of our country on small business. It will wipe out those wage gains, and it will put back in tax breaks for the homes of billionaires in New York and Los Angeles. Not everybody is a millionaire, John.
Okay, thank you. Let's
wait. I get a rebuttal. The balance is one for one.
I think we're past that point.
We both yeah, I guess we are probably past that point.
Yeah. We're down to actually our last question. Time flies when we're having an interesting discussion. Mr. Gardner, you'll answer this one first. There is hope that there may be a vaccine very soon, and then maybe within a matter of months, the pandemic may be behind us. Please talk about the government's response to this, and what will be your priorities in helping the nation recover once it does begin to open up?
Yeah, you bet. Look, there are three things that we have to keep in mind as we address this pandemic. Number one, addressing the pandemic itself to continue to flatten the curve, stop the spread. Number two, making sure that we're taking care of individuals. Number three, making sure that we have businesses that can keep people hired. It's why I supported the CARES Act and a number of bills to provide over $10 billion in funding to keep hundreds of thousands of Coloradans employed. Why I supported legislation that provided over $2 billion to our state and local governments across the state. Why today I just convinced the White House to expand and extend the public health emergency for coronavirus so that we can continue the increased payments in Medicaid, the work that we continue to do. January 24th, I convened the very first briefing on Capitol Hill about coronavirus with Dr. Fauci, Dr. Redfield, Admiral Girard to talk about the work that we needed to do. And just a couple of weeks ago, we voted again on the floor of the Senate to extend unemployment benefits, to make them run through the additional expanded unemployment benefits run through the end of this year, to provide additional dollars in the Paycheck Protection Program to keep businesses like those I've met with in Pueblo, a restaurant over by City Park that used the Paycheck Protection Program to keep their business open. Rosie's Diner in Monument, Colorado, a Hispanic-owned business that wouldn't have survived without the Paycheck Protection Program. That's the work that I have continued to do to bring those dollars back to the state. I fought hard with the governor of Colorado together to bring tests, COVID tests. I know we both took COVID tests today to be here today. They were probably the tests that I helped secure from South Korea. The work that we've done. When Governor Hickenlooper was in office, he had a chance to prepare the state of Colorado. He didn't do it. He didn't create the stockpile that we needed. In fact, there's an audit of the state that says the communications problems could have been a major issue in addressing a pandemic. He didn't fix it. They continue to today. And just a couple of weeks ago, on the bill that I supported that was blocked by Chuck Schumer that would have extended unemployment benefits, that would have given money to the post office, that would have provided dollars for child care, Governor Hickenlooper opposed it. He opposed the very relief that he is demanding be performed in a bipartisan fashion.
Okay. Mr. Hickenlooper?
I think the question was talking about the vaccine. And I'll address some of the attacks, wall of words of untruth and distortions. Let me just say that I think a vaccine, when we get it, is going to have to be distributed very carefully and very fairly, without any bias towards political purposes. Now, I'm not sure how many people feel that this White House, the staff in this White House, is going to be able to do that. I'm sure Cory Gardner thinks they're going to do a great job, but he obviously didn't want to answer the question. Once we get a vaccine, that's only part of the way. It's going to take us a long period of time, 6 months. It could be a year to actually get Even having the National Guard and the military helping with distributing the vaccine, it could take a long time to make sure that we get sufficient vaccinations for the herd immunity. I think what we've got to look at, why didn't we have testing capacity? We knew about this fact that the virus first came to the United States over 9 months ago, and we still don't have testing capacity yet. The JBS meatpacking firm, the vice president and Cory Gardner went to the JBS, and they made a big deal about promising that they would have testing capacity for JBS. That testing capacity for the frontline workers, it got there for the management, but frontline workers never got it. At JBS, eight people have died. And I think, again, Cory Gardner received $20,000 from JBS towards his various political reelection efforts. I think that's one of the problems we've got in Washington right now, is we've got to get the dark money out of Washington, all these attack ads, and where, you know, corporate PACs make donations, and then they expect things in advance. They expect you to, they said, people like Cory Gardner, stay quiet when things get rough. And we are at that point now where we need testing capacity, we need protective equipment, we've got to finally let our schools reopen, our businesses reopen, and make sure that they can do so safely, even as we're getting a vaccine.
Very good. Mr. Gardner?
Well, thank you. Well, Governor, if you're interested in providing help, PPE, and dollars to businesses, why did you oppose the bill that we voted on to provide that relief just a couple of weeks ago? Why did you say no to unemployment benefit extension? Governor, why did you say no to unemployment?
Are you finished?
I'll finish what you're going to say. If you don't want to answer the question, I'll finish. Why did you oppose additional dollars for personal protective equipment? You took the side of Chuck Schumer and saying that you would rather cause pain for the American people for your political gain, because you believe that if you don't have a bill passed, then it could help you in this election. That's not what the people of Colorado want. Why else would you disagree with something that everyone agrees with? Help for unemployment benefits, additional dollars for child care, additional dollars for vaccines. And yes, I will take the vaccine. We need to get it distributed, and I believe it's going to be much sooner than that. I hope it is. Let's pray together that it is going to be sooner than that and done safely. But I don't understand why you would oppose the dollars that we did. Now, look, maybe not everything was in it. Maybe there were more things that could have been done, and I agree. But why would you not take something and you end up with nothing? Because that sounds a heck of a lot what Speaker Pelosi just said she'd like to see today.
Okay. Mr. Hickenlooper?
Yes, and as always, there's a question of where to start on some of these. The bottom line is, this is the problem we have in Washington right now. That nothing seems to get done, and everyone's pointing fingers at each other, and they're blaming each other. You know, I got elected mayor, and Cory Gardner hates Metro Denver. I understand that.
I love Metro Denver.
I went around to all the suburban mayors who had been at war with the city and county of Denver, and I made the commitment we would cut our per capita water consumption, which we did. We cut it by 20% in the space of 5 years to make sure there was more water, not just for the suburbs, but for our farmers and ranchers. We made the commitment to not poach tax base from those communities. That's what needs to happen in Washington. I can guarantee you I don't know all the details of that negotiation. I wasn't allowed inside of it. But if I'd been there, I think there would have been a far greater probability of finding common ground. And I certainly wouldn't have kept coming back and doing field work and campaigning when such an urgent, a truly urgent issue remained. When people, I mean, I know a lot of these people, they're having trouble paying their rent. They're having trouble putting food on the table. These are people I worked with for years, and they deserve the support of Washington, and they're not getting it.
Mr. Gardner?
Is this the rebuttal? I'm sorry, Steve.
Yes, sir.
Well, look, that if you want all those things and you see so much pain, then why didn't you join me in support of a bill that would have provided unemployment benefits, that would have extended it through the end of this year? Why didn't you support additional dollars for businesses to allow them to have a second draw on the loan? There are businesses in Southern Colorado that are surviving today because of the Paycheck Protection Program, and you refuse to support a bill that would have given them more money. This isn't a wall of words. These are your actions that you've taken to say no. And then to come here and say that you want to help them? Did you tell them that you also oppose the very money that they're relying on? We have opportunities in this state to work together. It's why we passed a CARES Act unanimously. It's why we passed legislation to increase vaccines and stockpiles unanimously. It's why Republicans and Democrats can work together. But just because you send new blood to Washington doesn't mean that you get better ideas. In fact, I think what you've heard tonight are the same kinds of problems that hurt Colorado and that will make Washington even worse. We need to make Washington, realize that a little bit more Colorado common sense is what we need. And that's why I've worked hard for the last 6 years to do it, and why I will continue.
Okay. Mr. Eckelooper, final rebuttal, then we'll go to closing remarks.
Okay. Again, I guess I should just, if I was a lawyer and I'm not, I would say I rest my case. Nothing but attacks, accusations. You know, the question is, why isn't Washington working better? And Corey's been there for 4 years in the House and 6 years in the Senate. And as close as I can tell, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And I think that the bottom line is, if we're going to change things and begin to get to a place where we can make real progress, we've got to clean up the dark money and make sure that people running for the U.S. Senate, like Cory Gardner, aren't able to get $5.7 or $6 million from corporate PACs, that they're not going to have that dark money into their elections. We've got to get a bipartisanship in Washington that allows us to once again begin working together. And that's the Colorado way. That's what we did while I was mayor, while I was governor. And that's why I want to go to Washington. Until we send new people to Washington, nothing's going to change.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll move now to the closing remarks. You may recall that we said at the beginning that John Hickenlooper won the coin toss and he elected to conclude the event tonight. So first, we'll have closing remarks from Cory Gardner.
Thank you, Steve. And again, thank you to the Pueblo Chieftain and the Pueblo Community College for this evening and the other sponsors of this evening. You know, I just heard John talk about his dislike of dark money, yet Chuck Schumer's running millions and millions of dollars in dark money for Governor Hickenlooper. It's one more sign of somebody who thinks that the rules don't apply to him, that it's not about you. In fact, when he was running for president, he raised his hand and said, I'm even more progressive than anybody else on this stage. It's about the people of Colorado. The people of Colorado expect results. They expect a commitment. And that's why over the last 6 years, as I said at the beginning, I've worked hard to pass more legislation into law than the entire Colorado congressional delegation combined. Now, John Hickenlooper called my bills meaningless. He just did that in the news a couple of days ago. Let me tell you what those bills are. Just a few days ago, I had passed out of the House and the Senate a bill to create a 988 National Suicide Prevention Hotline. In Colorado, we lose somebody every 7 hours to suicide. This bill will save lives. John Hickenlooper called it meaningless. We passed the Great American Outdoors Act that places like the Running Sports Complex just a few miles away from here are going to benefit from, putting generations of youth into recreation and enjoyment and fun. And John Hickenlooper said that that was meaningless. We made sure that we passed the first ever cyber sanctions on international communities that want to bring and destroy this country. We've enacted those cyber sanctions. Passed legislation to make sure that we funded the VA hospital in Denver. Through that work, I've become the third most bipartisan member of the United States Senate. Those aren't just words, that's action. A commitment to every corner of this state. I am the only statewide elected official who lives more than 30 miles away from Denver or Boulder. And yes, I love Denver and Boulder. But there's more to the state than Denver and Boulder. There's an Eastern Plains that is hurting in agriculture, and that's why I take my roots seriously. And when somebody like John comes and says he's bragging about destroying jobs in those communities, it hurts. Because those jobs matter. Those are my neighbor's jobs, my family's jobs. And to tell the people of Colorado that you're willing to take their job away so that you can get your political desire implemented, it's wrong. And that's why I'm going to do everything I can over the next 4 weeks to be in every nook and cranny of this state, to share in the optimism of this state, because I believe in Colorado. I believe in a power of a state that gets through fires and gets through floods. And you know, John and I worked together through that. We talked to each other a lot on phone calls. And when John needed something, we would talk about how we could help, whether it was saving United Launch Alliance or whether it was providing more relief for our fires and our firefighters. We got the job done, including flood relief. When it came to working to get the outdoor shows here in Colorado, we signed a letter together to bring them here. That's the work that we do together. You've heard a contrast tonight of ideas. Because I believe in the people of Colorado, that when you let them work and when you give them the tools they need to succeed, they do succeed. They create opportunities in the best state, doggone state, in this entire country. That's who we are as a nation. We are the best and brightest, and they're all right here in this spectacular place called Colorado. I just think that John's ideas are wrong. I don't think they're the recipe for success. When you start with laying off 230,000 people in energy and say that eventually you planted the seeds, they'll get a job at some point. Did you ask them if they wanted to lose their job? Did you ask them if they wanted to keep their job? Because maybe they live there for a reason, because they love their community. Instead of sending them off to the Office of Just Transition because you've decided you know where they should work better than they do, maybe things are a little bit out of kilter. So let's stand together. Let's get through this pandemic together, because united we will achieve the continued greatness of this state and this country.
Thank you. We'll now have closing remarks from John Hickenlooper.
Great, and thank you again, Steve, and thank you to the Pueblo chieftain. What a treat to be back in Pueblo. And I remember when I first came down here to court Joe Garcia to convince him to become our lieutenant governor. He gave me a walking tour of downtown Pueblo, and I'd seen it and spent a bunch of time in Pueblo, but never seen it through his eyes. And what a wonderful, remarkable community. You know, we are in a crisis. The stakes have never been higher. I come at this as a small business person. And when I started my restaurant back up in Denver, the rent was $1 a square foot per year in Lodo in 1988. I'd work 80 hours a week, just like I'm working now in this campaign. I'm sure we both are. But I am a problem solver, like every small business owner. And I'm an optimist. You just have to keep solving the problems. And I ran for mayor and then governor because I wanted to take those lessons of being a problem solver and pragmatic, of solving problems and using the lessons of small business to make that work. And that's what I think that this country needs in Washington right now, is that sense of optimism, and that we can overcome anything, and stopping the attacks and the pointing the fingers at each other and these endless cycles of blame after blame after blame. We're facing a climate catastrophe. We're in a position right now where we're seeing these wildfires all over the West. The floods are hitting Florida and the southern part of the Gulf, or the southern part of the United States. These are serious, and they're getting worse, and they're not going to just suddenly go away. I believe that when we translate our energy economy away from coal and into wind and energy and batteries, such as we're doing right out here in Pueblo, and that the monthly electric bills for the consumers are going to go down, I think that's where the magic really happens, with the power of the market's going to accelerate that transition to clean energy and help us address climate change. I think we've got to stop giving away tax giveaways to the corporations and the wealthiest Americans, and focus on the middle class and how do we help them grow? How do we provide them the support that they can afford childcare when they're working, that they can make sure they can keep more of what they earn, they can afford housing? Corey mentioned the National Suicide Hotline. I applaud that. We put a suicide hotline, very similar, in Colorado about 7 years ago. And it is essential right now in these very difficult times with the pandemic. I think the issue that we disagree the most on is health care. And I think that's no secret. He has, as I've said frequently, been trying to take apart the Affordable Care Act ever since he's been in elected office. I think the fact that he claims he's got a bill that solves and provides protections for pre-existing conditions, of all the untruths he said, I think it's the cruelest lie of all. Because he's not just lying to those of us watching, me on the stage here and you watching, but he's lying to the 2.4 million Coloradans who have pre-existing medical conditions. I've got a friend, Ray Washington. He got medical coverage when they expanded Medicaid some years ago. About 6 months ago, he was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, cancer. And he's getting treatments right now that are the difference between life and death. And he would not be getting those treatments if we hadn't expanded Medicaid. If they wipe away the Affordable Care Act, as Cory Gardner has been arguing all this time, Ray Washington's going to have a very, very tough time. I think we have to recognize that there are 2.4 million Ray Washingtons out there.
And we should be fighting for them just like if they were our neighbors. That's what I want to fight for. If you guys will help send me to Washington. You're never going to change anything back in Washington if we don't send new people. Thank you.
On behalf of AARP, our sponsor this evening, and our partnership with the Pueblo Community College Center for New Media and the Pueblo Chieftain, I'd like to thank both candidates for spending their Friday evenings and coming down to Pueblo. We really appreciate it. You didn't have to. We appreciate that you came here and gave us a very lively debate. That concludes our event tonight. Thank you for joining us. Good evening.
And you have been listening live to the Pueblo Chieftains debate between Democrat John Hickenlooper and Republican Cory Gardner that has been taking place this evening at Pueblo Community College. Your moderator for the night has been Steve Henson. We want to thank Pueblo Community College and the Center for New Media, as well as the Pueblo Chieftain, for allowing us to carry this audio and bring the debate to you here. Thank you for listening. I'm Paul Richards for KSBK-FM.
KSBK Blanket. Wilsonburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad. Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 8 o'clock.
President Trump said he and the First Lady felt fine when he announced that they'd tested positive for COVID-19. Later today, we learned that they were both experiencing mild symptoms. And then this afternoon, the president's physician said Mr. Trump was giving an experimental antibody cocktail. Not long after that, the president was flown by Marine One to Walter Reed. Here's ABC's Martha Raddatz.
It is a massive medical facility. He will get the best care possible, not only from military doctors. Of course, he has a military doctor, but they will have any doctors at their disposal to help out. You heard the White House say he will have a presidential office there. I think what they mean is a VIP room, which is set up at Walter.